A Bloomington Normal woman helped lead the fight for the right for women to vote a century ago. August marks the centennial of the 19th Amendment. Hazel Buck Ewing marched, wrote letters, and twisted arms, and did so much more. Tony Tucker manages the Ewing Cultural Center in Bloomington and joins us to talk about Ewing and the struggle.
And she had a lot of passions over her lifetime. But she joined the women's suffrage movement in 1915, devoting herself to working with local, state, and national leaders to help secure the voting rights for women by writing letters, articles. She organized and attended conferences, and she also provided financial support.
Give us some sample of the rhetoric of the time and how this debate was framed.
Mostly it was women fighting for the right to vote and writing their congressmen, their senators, President Woodrow Wilson. Hazel wrote a lot of letters to him asking for them to support the women's right to vote. And it wasn't a lot of times taken seriously, and you can tell that by the letters and correspondence we have back from these men.
Like what, for instance?
The women of this country had waited 60 years before resorting to their present methods.
What's she talking about, present methods?
Of women themselves trying to get the right, secure the right to vote without the help of men. And when men were the ones in power in Congress and the Senate making those decisions, they had to rely on men to understand their cause.
Yeah, but what did women do? I mean, they marched, but what else did they do?
Well, they wrote letters. They gathered together. They had conferences. They started their own women's movement through journals. And they picketed state and local government. And Hazel was one of the picketers in Washington, D.C., to have their voices heard, similar to what people are doing today, picketing to have their voices heard.
What sort of responses was she getting to her letters? What were they saying, the men, at the time?
So, we have several correspondence from senators. So senators saying, oh, thank you for your letter. We'll take this into consideration as the vote comes up. So it wasn't, we're supportive of this. They never said that outright, but, you know, thank you for writing to us, and we'll consider your thoughts and
so
what
if
you
times
requested.
Haven't changed so much. Politicians put you off with the same sort of thank you for your letter response.
Yes, or the same sort of rhetoric, like they're just using the same templates they used 100 years ago.
And what happened to women who were especially active?
So those, particularly those that marched in Washington, D.C., they were imprisoned in a prison in Virginia. And Hazel's cousin by marriage, Lucy Ewing, was one of those women that were imprisoned. And we have letters between her and Hazel about the treatment she received in prison. And Lucy Ewing wrote a series of articles in 1917 after she was let out of prison. That was in the Chicago Examiner, and it was a series over several months of how women were treated. And after that, she went on the speaking circuit. So we have those letters she wrote. We have the articles.
How was she treated? What happened to her?
They were, and what's interesting is it was other women who ran the prison. It was not men. And the food, they would put worms in the food. They would let the milk go sour before giving it to the women. They would abuse them physically for not supporting or for wanting the right to vote. So it wasn't all women in the country that wanted that right.
How active were local suffragettes?
They were very active on not only a local level, but the state and national level. By attending conferences, Hazel and the other women, they actually created the League of Women Voters during that time. And they would go out and speak throughout the county on the women's right to vote and why women should support it. And interesting enough, speak to their husbands about supporting it and why they needed to support it. And Hazel would organize demonstrations. She would go out and give lectures to women at different women's clubs around the county.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Tony Tucker, the director of the Ewing Cultural Center, formerly known as Ewing Manor in Bloomington. How are these records of Hazel Buck Ewing and her niece accessible?
So they've been recently digitized by Milner Library, and you can go to Milner Library's homepage under Collections, and under History Collections, you'll find the Hazel Buck Ewing Suffrage Collection, and there are 163 pieces of digitized materials. Primarily, there's correspondence between the Congressional Union for Women's Suffrage and letters to Hazel from like the movers and shakers of the day, Alice Paul, Lucy Burns, Mabel Sipley, and Elizabeth Kent. It also contains miscellaneous letters that Hazel wrote. She always kept copies of the letters she wrote. So when she received a response, she kept them together. So we're very fortunate that the Ewing family all these years have kept these documents.
What does that do to researchers about the time of suffrage? What does that do for them?
It gives them the opportunity to actually read the words of the women of the time, not just what they've read in a textbook, but actually what was said in the correspondence that was written between them.
But having both sides of the correspondence, that's got to be handy, right?
What's interesting to read it, and it's fascinating, I think, for researchers and scholars researching the movement on its 100th anniversary of what took place. And you can see, for example, if you read the series of letters to President Woodrow Wilson, and he never responded personally. His secretary responded each time, but she wrote him so much that towards the end, in the letters back, where the response became shorter and shorter each time. And in one response,
so go away.
The last response we have is, "We have been receiving your letters, thank you." Whereas if you read the first response, it's a much longer letter and addressing the issues and how they'll consider them.
Why would she be getting a personal letter back from the Secretary of the President? Is it because she helped found the DAR? What made her a person of consequence that needed to be responded to at that level?
Hazel Buck Ewing was very influential in the time period. I think, unfortunately, it's because of her wealth that she could support them financially in their campaigns. And she did support the suffrage movement financially. And I think they could see that this was the opportunity to have her donate to their campaigns.
As you've read these letters and these historical artifacts, how do her words hold up today? Do they ring true? Are there things that still are relevant?
I think everything she wrote are still relevant. If she wrote these letters today and we read them as letters to the editor, it still addresses issues that women are having with women's rights and women equality.
The letters are not the only historical objects you have. What else do you have in the collection?
We have, when Hazel marched in Washington, D.C., we have her sash, her ribbons, her pins that say National Women Party, her badges that say representing the state of Illinois. And those are in the traditional colors of the women's movement that are white, purple, and gold. We also have several photographs of the time period of Hazel actually marching in D.C. One interesting photograph we have, her birthday happens to be December 25th. So in 1915, as a birthday gift, her husband Davis Ewing built her a 10-foot snowman of a woman with a sign supporting women's rights to vote.
Well done for him. That's pretty cute. Across the country, suffragists who were imprisoned went on hunger strikes to draw attention to their cause. Some of them were force-fed in retaliation. How did she respond to those things happening, this violence against women who were fighting for their the right to vote? What did she say?
She wrote an article in one of the women's journals about that very issue, that women were being treated as slaves, and treated as slaves being punished for not listening to the white man, so to say. So it was very similar to what she felt like the fight against slavery was, just to have equality, and equality for all, no matter, you know, what your skin color, what your sex, what your religion.
Would you read one of her letters that carries some words of weight?
Yes. This letter was written on January 5th, 1918, to William McKinley, and he was a congressman. And she says, My dear Mr. McKinley, every thinking man and woman of this great country has now come to see that equal suffrage is bound to come, no matter what happens or to think about it. It surely, as the sun is bound to rise, neither can be stopped. Will you not do all in your power to ensure the passage of the federal suffrage amendment during this session of Congress, and to prevent the continuance of the aggravation that has grown in intensity and extent for over 60 years? We are counting on you to vote and work for this amendment, my dear Mr. McKinley. Yours in greatest sincerity, Hazel Buck Ewing.
So she's saying, you know we're going to win. We know we're going to win. We're going to remember those who continue to cause aggravation, and it's time for you to get on board this train. That's the subtext, right?
That's basically it. And this is 1918, and it's still 2 years before the amendment was passed.
And how did McKinley vote? How did McKinley do on that issue later?
Later, he did vote for the women's right to vote, eventually.
Takes him a while sometimes.
This is a part of an article that was written by Lucy Ewing soon after she was arrested for picketing at the White House. August 17, 1917. Today, I and five other picketers were arrested for obstructing traffic at the White House. Tomorrow, I must appear in the police court and, of course, will be sentenced. I wonder what the sentence will be, 30 days, 60 days, 6 months, and will it be at the workhouse or will I go to jail? In the jail, there are rats, but we see our friends wear out our own clothes and have food brought to us. 30 days or a year, we won't hesitate if we win the battle for the whole democracy. August 18th. Appeared in court at 9:15. Sat all morning while Judge Pudge disposed of drunks and disorderly cases. Terrible shrieks and wails came from the cell room after a colored woman had been sentenced. It was disturbing. Adjourned for lunch. The noon papers have already published the fact that we had been given 30 days. Our case came up. We pleaded not guilty and protested again and for the illegal arrest and sentenced 30 days or a fine of $10. We women refused to sell our cause out for $10. We would not pay the fine. Sell out for the cause of women for $10? No. We said goodbye to our friends, waited in the room where three colored women were caged.
It's kind of interesting that in every era there is something to struggle, and there is always opposition by the establishment.
Yes, and I think it's interesting that I'm sure these women had $10 or people that could raise the money for them, but they had a cause, and they weren't going to let paying a fine speak for their cause.
Tony Tucker is the director of the Ewing Cultural Center in Bloomington. The collection of letters of Hazel Buck Ewing has now been digitized and is available online through Milner Library at Illinois State University. The 19th Amendment, recognizing the right to vote for women, was ratified in August of 1920.